Hi, this is Pastor Mike Gordon, and welcome to Bethel Brandon Sunday Message. For more information about this podcast and more resources, visit us at bethelbrandon.ca. Hey, welcome to Bethel Online Church. We are so glad that you are here. If you're part of Bethel family, it's great. But there are a lot of people who are not normally joining us on our services on Sunday. Perhaps you're a long distance or away, or you have other commitments and on Sunday and you aren't able to be here. And so if you're here, welcome. I don't even care if you don't go to church or haven't gone to church a day in your life. You're welcome here. And I'm hoping that perhaps you'll respond by liking it or sharing it or whatever way we can. We just want to try and communicate with you. So I have a great passage of scripture. It's found in Psalm chapter 13. And it hits us right where we are today in what we are going through. And so I'm thinking that it will minister, or it will provide an opportunity for healing this morning. But before I get to that, I have a question for you. Do you remember, for those of you who might be a little bit longer in the tooth like I am, and do you remember a movie which was called Groundhog Day? It was with an actor named Bill Murray, and it was kind of a funny movie, and it had to do with a guy who somehow gets himself locked into one particular day. He just lives that day over and over and over again, and it just happens to be Groundhog Day. Every single day he gets up, it is Groundhog Day, and the same thing happens every single day to him, and the only thing that has changed is the way he responds to the day. One particular part that I always found funny, one part that kind of stuck to the movie, was the fact that as the day started, the clock radio that he had started at 5:59, and it just kind of flipped over, and that kind of started the alarm, which wasn't an alarm, it was kind of the radio starting. And it was always that Sonny and Cher song, Babe. You know, but then put your little hand in mine, there ain't no hill or mountain we can't climb, babe. I got you, babe. I know, again, this is going to be a song that many people don't know. And for those of you who don't know the song, you don't have to send me a Spotify tune on the email, and you don't have to send me a YouTube of the song somehow on YouTube. I do get it. I've seen it. You should actually listen to this song because it's a pretty good song. But anyways, the revolving door of everything being the same. It just seems like I'm living the same day over and over and over again. 2 weeks ago, I talked about my son and how he was asked to stop singing, and he kind of lost his song, and that discouraged him because he wasn't able to sing. Yeah. And I asked the question, have you ever lost your song? Well, today the question is this: what happens when it's the same old song? When it's the same old song, it gets absolutely excruciating. And so let's talk about it in this session and how that deals with us today. And we're starting a new sermon series, which I'm calling The Remedy or The Cure, because that's all we seem to hear about these days, isn't it? The cure. We're looking for a cure. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and we need to somehow find a vaccine, or we need to find somewhat of a cure. And that's an interesting thing. But yeah, I began to realize that in this zeal for the cure, we have created another illness. And we talk about surviving the COVID-19 virus, and I want to talk to us about how do we survive COVID-19. And I'm not really talking about the virus. I'm talking about the byproduct of the virus, or what is taking place. The fact that we've had to spend so much time alone. We've had to spend so much time living the same day over and over again. What are the injuries that takes place? What happens when we get back to whatever normal we're going to come back to, and realize that the foundations that we thought were so solid aren't so solid anymore? Because I think that we have lost a lot. There has been some things that have changed, and perhaps you've lost some tangible things, and maybe you're set back, or maybe you are suffering in some way or another, or maybe your children are suffering because they haven't been able to go and do the things that perhaps they've been used to doing, and you're kind of there working with your kids. And let me just ask you again, be honest with me. Has there been those one or two times where you went to the washroom and you just kind of stayed in the washroom like an extra 5 minutes while your kids were pounding on the door, waiting for you or trying to respond from you? I think that if that's the case, you are just a normal individual. It is part of a process of the fact that you can kind of overload on your kids. It is true, and it doesn't mean that you're a bad person or anything like that. What I'm just trying to say is that I think that we are suffering in different ways. I think that there is a spiritual entity, and so what we need to do is we need to find a remedy for that. And I believe that the remedy is found in the Word of God. As Christians, we believe that there is healing in the Word of God. So let's take a look at some of those go-to passages of Scripture when things aren't going so well that allow healing to take place in our lives. Can we do that in this session? There's a number of things that we can talk about. And here's the thing. During this time, it may be tough, but it is also probably your best time to shine. It is your best opportunity for you to have what we call in the church world a testimony, something that will cause people to see that there's something different about you that they can look to and lean on. Because a lot of people, really, a lot of people are asking those types of questions. And so if we could kind of talk about this a little bit more. So in this session, I want to kind of examine and explore the way David dealt with hard times. And next week, I'm going to be talking about how Paul advised his people in his letters how to deal with the difficult situations. What was Paul's medicine through the Word of God? And then I want to talk about, in Jesus' own words, what Jesus had done to talk about healing of things like this. And we're going to kind of close in a renewed perspective of hope. And so let's get into the Word. If you have your Bibles, I think we probably will have it here on the presentation. Psalm chapter 13. It's just a small psalm, only 6 verses. It's right at the beginning of the Psalms, and it was obviously a psalm that David kind of was feeling the pressure. So let me just read it for you really quickly here. And it says this, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord, my God, give light to my eyes or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I've overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. And I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. So this is kind of an interesting passage of Scripture that David talks about. And David is kind of interesting in how he presents his situations. This isn't the first time that David talks like this. And I think that there's some interesting things, and perhaps you have missed some of the issues that had come about. Because what David talks about in this particular passage of Scripture are some of the same questions that we are asking ourselves now. But the thing is, he presents a situation. And the way I've kind of broken this down is this. I want to talk about the 3 W's. Then I want to talk about the shift, which is so important in this passage of Scripture. And then I want to talk about the 5 L's. It's not going to take too long. So if you can kind of bear with me and kind of join along with me as I kind of go through this whole process, I believe that it will offer healing to those people who are going through difficult times. I believe that God wants to give us some perspective as we go through. I think he wants us to be effective. So let's talk about the 3 W's. Now, perhaps you've missed it, or perhaps they're not kind of spelt out as quickly, but I am telling you right now, all of us who are a passionate follower of Jesus, or maybe you're kind of considering, it doesn't matter what kind of individual are, or where you are kind of in the journey. These 3 W's come up. a lot of the time. And the three W's are weight. From there, it goes to wrestling. And then it goes from there to wondering. Those three processes are here. I believe that we deal with those things today. I believe that there's something that are taking place, particularly as we go through this unique time in our history. But we got to ask ourselves, and David mentions this as he is obviously going through a hard time. We're not too sure exactly what was going on in his life at this time, but we know David's life. We know that he went through some difficult times. And so we don't know exactly what it is, but he expresses these things, and they're important because we have to ask ourselves, what are hard times? What exactly do we mean by hard times? Well, I kind of think of it this way. Hard times are the barbells of the soul. They are the resistance that we have that somehow causes us to build muscles. They are opportunities. They are opportunities to grow. They are opportunities for us to shine. They are opportunities for us to thrive. And it's important to know and to understand this. And so what we have is we have the three W's, and I hope that you don't miss them. And there's something important that has to go, because I believe that this whole idea of waiting, wrestling, and wondering kind of lead from one to another. So let me just kind of explain them to you. The first one is wait. Well, I don't see it say wait here, but you know what it says? How long? How long, God? And not only does he say it once, he says it four times in the first two verses of this particular chapter. Now, if you understand literature in Hebrew and Greek, what happens is many times they will emphasize things by how many times that they repeat them. And he repeats it four times. And so when that takes place, all of a sudden the statement becomes a shout. And you can kind of hear the groan. God, what is going on? How long will you forget me? He says. You see, all of a sudden waiting, if you're waiting for too long, all of a sudden you begin to say, God, you have just forgotten me. You've forgotten me. He goes on and he says, how long will you hide your face from me? You see the indication there when he talks about that? He's talking about the fact that I don't feel or sense that you are even around anymore. I just don't feel, I don't have the sensation that you are even around, God. And as Pentecostals, hey, that's important stuff for us. We like to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit at all times in our lives. And this is not what David was feeling. This is the situation that he's going on. And then the waiting tends to lead towards the wrestling, because he says, how long will I wrestle with my thoughts? All of a sudden, the next process is there. There begins to become a fight. I've always found this, that I'm always wrestling over something. There's always questions that I have with God. But what David is talking about here is not just an ordinary wrestle over some small things. He's talking about the wrestling that happens between the ears. Not just talking about something that he might not agree with. He's talking about depression. He's talking about discouragement. He's been waiting so long and things have not changed. And he's just starting to say, God, this is getting so bad that I'm beginning to have depressive thoughts. I'm beginning to sink in despair. And I'm beginning to think of things that perhaps I shouldn't really be thinking of them. And it just goes a little bit deeper. You see, you might be wrestling with a number of things. You might be wrestling with your job, and you might be wrestling with the fact that all of a sudden things have to change for you. Or maybe you're wrestling over the fact that there are issues within your family and that. But the greatest wrestle that you will have many times is the wrestle over depressing thoughts, the wrestling over despair that comes when you just can't find an answer. And the loneliness and the isolation just brings those thoughts, that wrestle that comes. And I can be a whole lot better if I can understand. The more tangible enemy that I have, the easier time that I have. It's when I can't see the enemy that I wrestle the most. Hard to wrestle against an enemy that you can't see. And sometimes waiting brings weakness, and it's not just a physical weakness, it is an emotional weakness, and it's the lies that sometimes we entertain, and it's the seeds that Satan may somehow plant in the whole process. And from there goes the wondering, from the wait to the wrestle to the wondering, and we begin to say, well, if that's the case, you know, what else is not true? What else is happening that I feel like I'm about to lose this war? There's something going on here. And you begin to wonder, is God even going to show up at all? I know exactly what his word says. I know exactly that he's trying to do something. But if I were to be honest with you, I'm beginning to question God's goodness. I'm beginning to question God's mercy. I'm beginning to question his providence in my life. I'm beginning to worship, wonder about his presence or his mercy or his power to get me out. And so what ends up happening is we begin to spiral downwards because of this. And we begin to think that not only are we losing, but we've already lost because Satan has whispered that in our ear. And we begin to entertain those thoughts. And whatever you feed, it will grow. And so what happens at this time is he ends kind of with this thought, and what happens from this point is what I will call a shift. And you've got to have the shift. David all of a sudden announces what the problem is exactly. He becomes completely honest with what is going on. And many times in the Psalms, this is what David does. I believe that is his way of processing. If you don't have a shift, you never really acknowledge the problem. You can never ever be healed from what you can't acknowledge to be true. And this is kind of the situation that is going on. We sometimes sit there and have these problems that we go through, and we never ever get to the point where we become honest with the problem. And if we don't become honest with the problem, and all of a sudden, we begin to try to heal through something that we can never, ever be healed from because it is never, ever acknowledged in our lives. And as a result, we never deal with the pain because for some reason, we think that we're not supposed to have pain. That somehow, in some reason, there's some bubble in that we have upon us, and Christians aren't supposed to have pain, or somehow we think that we're Teflon, that sometimes these things bump into us, but they should slide off right away, and we shouldn't feel that way. Or what happens is we begin to never acknowledge because we somehow think that if we don't acknowledge him, or if we acknowledge that there's pain or difficulty going on in our lives, then somehow in some way we are admitting to the fact that Christianity doesn't work. That somehow there's this thought in us that says, well, if it's not working, and I can't admit that it's not working, and so we'll somehow try and defend God. And let me tell you, God doesn't need any kind of defending in any particular way. And if you are trying to defend God, what happens is this depression and the lack of acknowledgement turns into discouragement and depression and hurt, and it festers into a boil. What happens is we have an infection in our soul. How do we get an infection in our soul? Well, we just become dishonest with ourselves, and we become dishonest with God. And the beginning of healing comes with honesty. And that's why David was so good at what he did. That is why he was the apple of God's eye, because he was completely honest all the time. And as the result of being honest, he was able to process all the stuff that was going on in his life. And from there, he can go on. From there, God can somehow move. Because if God is truth, why do we try to hide truth from him? You know, David's the one who said in Psalm chapter 51, verse 6, surely you desire truth, where? In the inmost parts. It's Psalm 139 where David says, you know, where can I go where you're not there? If I go to the heavens, you're there. If I go into the depths below, you are there. There's not a place where I can go where you're not there. So I just need to acknowledge truth. That's part of the shift. The shift is so important. So what he does in the process and processing it, he goes from basically acknowledging what the problem is to acknowledging the solution. Here's where we get what I call the five L's. It starts it starts with this, okay? He says, look. He says, look, God, look on me. Now, it's kind of a funny statement because I don't know if that's exactly what the prayer is meant to do. I think basically as David says that, he in the same time is saying, well, I need to kind of look at myself because really, God's vision doesn't need fine-tuning. Many times if there is vision that needs to be fine-tuned, it is us. And so in him saying, God, take a look at what's going on, at the same time, it causes us to ask ourselves, what eyes are we looking at? Are you looking at things through the eyes of faith? Or are you looking at the things through eyes of failure? Are you looking at the things of looking through eyes of pain? Or are you looking through eyes of positioning? Are you looking at eyes of destruction or destination? And God, help me to see things, which kind of leads to this aspect of light. God, enlighten me. Help me to see. God, can you somehow turn the lights on so that I can understand what's happening, what's going on? Give me some type of enlightenment. Help me know what's going on. Help me to understand what's taking place at this particular time. This happens all the time. Have you ever asked God, God, can you just kind of turn the lights on? I'd like to kind of see what's going on. I kind of like to see where I'm going. That's why David also says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. It gives me the perspective that I need to know what's going on from an eternal perspective. I always think of that one passage of scripture when Elisha is talking to the servant and they're surrounded and he's afraid. And the statement that Elisha makes is great. He says, you know what? You need to take a second look because those who are for us are more than those who are against us. And so what ends up happening is he looks out and he sees that there's this mighty host of angels surrounding them as well. The ability to see things. You know, Paul says it this way. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as he's closing the love chapter, he says, you know what? We see through, he terms it this way, a glass darkly. Now, there's some cultural ramifications to that, but basically saying this, sometimes our vision is just kind of dim and we need to allow God to give us light. From there, it talks about the lift. And the lift that he's talking about is pretty big. He says, you know what, God, if I don't get out of this, if you don't lift me up, I think I'm going to die. He kind of says, can you lift me out of the hands of my enemies? Because I'm about to be defeated here. It is that serious. God, I'm taking a free fall here. And I need you to catch me. I need you to somehow lift me up. Now, some people who have studied this, commentators who have studied this, say that this is kind of like a reverse psychology ploy that he has. He basically says this, God, you know that if I fall, they know that I represent you. And so if I fall, it kind of means in their eyes that you fall as well. He kind of uses that ploy as well. But there's something here that I want you to notice, something I think that is important. Something that the way he prays it, he doesn't say, God, can you help me to lift myself out of this pit? His prayer isn't that. His prayer is basically, Lord, I surrender to your power prayer. And there is a difference between, God, can you help me to lift myself out of this? And the I surrender to your power prayer. Because God, if you help me to lift myself out of this, the fact still remains that you're the one who is doing the lifting, that you're still the one that's in control, that the person that you are trusting in is yourself or your own ability. And this is kind of the thing about the lift. You gotta let God do the lift. You gotta get to your point where you realize that I am absolutely helpless and God, I need you. I need to surrender everything to you. Kind of leads to the love thing. What do I say about love? What can I add to what has probably already been said in 1,000 sermons about love? Other than this, that the love that is used in this particular passage of scripture, the Hebrew word which is used, is not a lighthearted kind of love. It is more of a covenant type of love. Something that is not a condition, something which is a promise. I'm going to trust in your, he uses the word, unfailing love. And that is important because in the midst of a time when you think you're actually about to fail, you need to add that word to love, don't you? So love. And then love leads to the last L word. It's called, and I've kind of labeled it this, leaning, that my heart will rejoice in your salvation, that I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. I will lean, God, on what you say is true. I believe that there is an untapped resource in worship. I think what happens is that when we worship him, that God somehow acknowledges that there is somewhat of a surrender, there is somewhat of an acknowledgement, there is an offering. If worship is to be right, it is an offering to God that says, God, you need to somehow take control, and I have to learn to lean on you in this particular situation. I think perhaps the most anointed worship that you have, the anointing, the worship that catches God's attention the most, is what I call painful worship. Is that time when things aren't going so well, you're in the midst of the storm, things are going extremely difficult for you, and you say, you know what, God? It is going against every fiber that I have right now, but despite what I am going through, I'm gonna worship you. I'm gonna give you everything. And that God somehow will work, and he blesses that, and he moves. There's a healing entity, I believe, in painful worship. Worship in the midst of the storm. Worship that we tend to do, because when it comes down to it, we're all pretty fragile, aren't we? So, in conclusion, let me give you some concluding thoughts. Chances are you have dealt with three W's in your life. The waiting, the wrestling, and the wondering. But in the process, there is a God that desires you to acknowledge that and then hand it to him. And there's a God who is desiring to give you a chance to look upon him and to enlighten the situation and to lift you out of the miry clay, as the word says, and to experience his love and to lean on him because he's there. That there's a medication, that there's a remedy for those three W's. The question I'm asking you is this. Are you willing to take that medicine? Or perhaps are you trusting in someone or something else? My daughter and I had a conversation this week, and she's just graduated from her nursing, and I guess there's this big test that you take after you get the nursing done to make sure that you know everything, and from there you go and get your license and go into the practice. And so as we're talking about this, I come to find that there are certain terms that are kind of just put in short form, certain letters, and there's one particular one that kind of interests me. It's called FTT. Now, for those nurses who are watching here, you know exactly what that is. I don't have to tell you, but for the rest of us novices, this is kind of what it means. Failure to thrive. Isn't that an interesting process? Failure to thrive. It is a term which is used in the medical profession for those people who should be growing. Many times it's used for children to somehow detect that there is something wrong, is that, well, you should be growing, you should be at this weight, you're not gaining the weight that you should. There's something wrong because you should be at this particular level at this time, but you're failing to thrive. You should be here and you should be there. And sometimes we get under the illusion. I often wonder if there's a spiritual FTT that we experience. A spiritual failure to thrive. And the mistake is to think that I thrive when everything is well. That's when I thrive. But the Bible actually says it's the opposite. That when you go through the tough times, when you're waiting and when you're wondering and when you're wrestling, that's the time to thrive. So my prayer for you is that you'll thrive. God, for every person who is ill from this virus, and I'm not talking about the virus itself, but the byproducts of the virus, I pray that we will find our healing and our ointment and our cure in you and in your word. And so, Lord, I pray that your blessing, Lord, let this word go out, and Lord, let it bear fruit, and let it cause us to rejoice in you, because our hope has to be in you, not in anything you, and not in you and also something else, in you alone. So I pray for your blessing. I pray for your anointing. I pray for your healing. And Lord, let us look to you and your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, if you enjoyed the service today, make sure you share it. Make sure you leave a comment. Let's just kind of get an opportunity to engage. We want to try and make sure everyone's doing well. And if you can either like it or add a comment or something, not for my ego or anything like that, but we just kind of want to continue to make sure everyone's doing well. If you need prayer, make sure that you text the number that is on the screen or visit us on our website or somehow call the church. We want to make a difference for you. May God bless you. Have a great week, and God bless.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. Let's continue the conversation online. Visit us at bethelbrandon.ca or follow us on Facebook.